Mini episode 298 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by The Sports Train, the finest pure sports talk show on both terrestrial and internet radio. Follow them on the web at thesportstrain.net.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, everybody. Welcome to our breakdown of the NFC West for 2013 in the FDH Lounge. Rick Morris and Kyle Ross. We've run through all the rest of the divisions in football. And again, I'm wanting to paraphrase that whole thing about that. We've gone through the rest. Now we're going to take on the best because the NFC West, you could make a very, very strong case for it being the strongest division in the NFL.
And who would have thought that just a couple years ago?
18 months ago. You'd
when Pete Carroll, in his first year with Seattle, won this division at 8. What, he was 8-8 they won the division, or were they 7-9? They were 7-9 division winner,
yes,
weren't they?
Yes, they were.
It was a historically bad division, and this year, most people think that the two best teams in football reside within the same division, which is pretty rare in this era with 8 divisions, only 4 teams per division. San Francisco, obviously, the reigning and defending NFC champions. Seattle, certainly with the emergence of Russell Wilson, a very trendy team for 2013, a team who I jumped on in the middle of last year. Ironically, you called for him to make the playoffs before the year. I didn't. But by the middle of the year, I not only jumped on the train, I began shoving people out of my way so I could drive it. And I still think at the end of the year, I know they lost to Atlanta. The defense kind of – I mean, I don't want to make excuses for anybody. It seemed like they fell asleep. They let Ryan complete a couple big passes. It's hard to imagine. It's hard – not to imagine, but I just think Seattle was playing as good as any team in the league down the stretch last year.
Oh, they were.
They're a great home team, and they've got a lot of hype. Like I said, they're a very trendy selection this year. Now – adding to the mix is a team that I know you're high on, and I'm not so much as St. Louis. St. Louis is a team that in Jeff Fisher's first year jumped from 2-7 wins.
And played very well in a brutal division.
They went 4-1-1 in the division last year. Yeah. I don't think they're repeating that, Ricky.
Probably not.
And I think when you jump up from 2-7 wins, you plateau, you don't jump again. So I'm going to start here. I think, you know, it's funny, St. Louis, the home to Anheuser-Busch. This year it is the home to PBR because the trendiness
it
will
is.
Not taste good. I have the Rams as the most disappointing team in the league at 6-10 this year. Not sold on Sam Bradford.
I got them at 9-7, making the playoffs on a tiebreaker. This is one of these things where, you know, I'm the hipster at saying, it's not fair, everybody. It's not fair because I said it back in March.
You did.
And now everybody's saying it, and I look like the poser. I was like, go back, check the tapes. FDH Lounge mini episode number 263. I was saying it then. You didn't think any more of my opinion on it at that time than you do now. But I at least was original. I was saying it at the time. Everybody's jumping on the bandwagon. Again, I think they have enough to be able to grind it out to a 9-7 record. Like Bernie Kosar, I'm unimpressed with their wide receiving core. I do think they reached on Tavon Austin big time, which we did that mini episode 263 before the draft. But again, I think they can make the playoffs here.
Where's the offense going to come from?
Defensively, they're very strong. I think that they have a...
So are Seattle and San Francisco, and they have better offenses.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I know you're not saying they're as good as those two teams.
No. But I think also, too, I think this is going to be a year of, you know, we've talked about these quarterbacks that are, when you're talking about Stafford, Romo, whatever, guys with something to prove, I think we put Sam Bradford in
there.
He's
lower than those guys. What has he ever done?
I think he's going to leapfrog at least a few of them this year.
I'm not as sold on him.
If they make the playoffs,
well, it'll be because he does. Yes.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the year, my opinion that he's better than Tony Romo will be very mainstream at that point. If he makes the playoffs with the weapons he has versus the weapons Romo has.
Well, I mean, we'll have to see the year play out. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's a million reasons you can make the playoffs.
Yeah, but that's.
But
I think they're going to be able to do it. I think, again, they have some very nice up-and-coming, under-the-radar running backs here, Richardson, Turbin, et cetera. You know, you talked about Lamar Thomas in Miami. I think you got Lamar Miller. You got the same kind of sleeper potential. Lamar Thomas. I'm going back to the U days here.
Yes.
But Freudian slip. Yeah. But, no, I think with I just think they have the capability in there to get to – Again, 7-8-1, 9-7. That's not a big jump up.
Yeah, but from 2-win, here's the thing with the Rams last year. I had a buddy watches football every week with me, and it was like the last week of the year, and he's like, the Rams have 7 wins. It kind of snuck up on everyone, and I just think, look, long term, they're building something. I think, and I think you're just a year ahead of the curve here, Ricky. I just see them kind of being disappointing in that division. They're not going to go. They were 1-0-1 against the Niners, and they split with Seattle, and then they swept Arizona. They're just not going to repeat that division record. And I just think that they plateau, not jump again. And again, I have them a very disappointing 6-10, which is the same record I'm calling for the Arizona Cardinals, who are sort of the by default worst team in the NFC.
10, that's my call also.
Again, remember what I said earlier about throughout these division by division podcasts about teams with win totals, projected win totals of 6 or lower, you usually want to bet over. Arizona's 5.5. That's a main reason why I want to go with 6. I'm no fan of Carson Palmer by any means, but here's the thing. He's an improvement over their quarterback play last year, and they were a 5-win team.
Everyone really overstates that. Like, finally, Larry Fitzgerald has a real NFL quarterback. Let's not get carried away.
No, Carson Palmer's not great, but he is better than what they had last year. Arians comes over.
He has a mediocre NFL quarterback, which is much greater than what he's had still. But
he's not a long-term answer. It's a Band-Aid over a bullet hole.
Yes, exactly. And it's like that's one of my jobs in life, I feel like, is to call people on hyperbole. There's too much hyperbole about what the addition of Carson Palmer means.
I mean, look what he did. I mean, the Raiders were good with Jason Campbell. They went in the tank with Palmer. They were terrible.
Right.
The Raiders were terrible. I mean, Arizona, with Fitzgerald, there's more talent with the Cardinals. And their defense is pretty good.
The defense is pretty good with
Arizona.
But we're looking at a situation, sadly enough. I mean, and at least he got one.
Remember, they were 4-0 last year, and what did they win? One game the rest of the year.
And we said at the time how awful they were. I think when they were 4-0, I think I still had them like 19th in my power rankings.
Yeah.
Because everybody knew what was going to happen. And I'll tell you this, as far as it goes with Larry Fitzgerald, he got one Super Bowl run out of it. But it's a thing where the guy came into the league in, what was it, 04? It's a sad story because Larry Fitzgerald is going to go down as one of these guys. The best years of his career were wasted with some of the chodes that have been throwing him the football.
You almost think he should have left. I mean, I wouldn't have faulted him. I don't fault people for leaving.
Well, but that's one of those things where the whole thing about, he took the, he got a pretty sweet contract and
well,
stayed
yeah,
there.
That's
and
okay.
It was
he had a few million reasons to stay, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're down to Seattle and San Francisco.
Yep.
Anyone who listened to the podcast at the end of last year knows I love Seattle and is probably anticipating I'm going to pick Seattle to win
the
division.
It's a coin flip. And by the way, side note, and I told you this off air, but recent FDH Lounge guests, Evan Roberts from FAN in New York, Ian Eagle from CBS Sports, Rick Bucher from NBC Sports, all agreeing with my take that I think you agreed with previously that I said on FDH Lounge mini episode 263 when we were doing our first NFC West preview. Rivalry of the 90s will be 49ers and Seahawks by the time it's all said and done.
I mean, rivalry of this decade.
Or, I'm sorry.
I don't think
the 2010s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be interesting if it was the rivalry of the 90s. I remember that being the Cowboys in the 49ers.
That's what happens when you run through, all the divisions in one day. My brain is scrambled right now. But, no, rivalry of the 2010s, it is.
Okay. These are the two best teams in football. I'm going to surprisingly pick the 49ers to hold the fort and win the division. I got them 11-5. I have Seattle 10-6 only, which I know could be surprising to some given how good they looked at last year. I think Russell Wilson's a potential MVP candidate in this league down the line.
Right.
But they jumped from 7 to 11 wins last year, and they have a lot. I mean, they've got to fly East Coast, I know, sometimes this year. I'm still suspect on their ability to win on the road consistently, but even though I'm picking them only 10-6 in the regular season, which doesn't sound that impressive, I still think in the big picture, big things for Seattle. Spoiler alert here for the next couple minutes. And then with the 49ers, they have a very high win total, 11.5. You usually want to go under those, but I'm going to go only under by half the game. By the way, heavy juice on the under in Vegas, -185 for under 11.5 wins. So I'll go with
that's
that.
All the hipsters that are like, they can't possibly sustain it.
Well, I don't think they can, to be honest with you. It's not,
they're the best balanced team in the league.
And they
Seattle's
are, and
right
very well
them.
Coached, yeah. So I think, again, you know, it's easy to say these teams are 13-3, 12-4. It's tough in the same division.
Well, 12-4 for San Francisco, 11-5 for Seattle is my pick.
I've got them one worse each, 11-5 and 10-6.
Okay, but both in the playoffs?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
And
but you've got the order flip-flop, because I got San Francisco winning it.
So do I.
All right.
Oh, yeah,
right.
I have San Francisco 11-5,
right,
Seattle
10-6.
Right. Okay. And probably meeting in the second round of the playoffs, because one will be a wild card, one will.
Which is a real shame. They will, like, this might be the rivalry of this decade, but it'll be very difficult for them to ever meet in an NFC championship.
Yeah, because
game.
They're in the same, I mean, there'll have to be upsets.
Yeah.
But that being, just because you win in the regular season doesn't mean you're going to win in the playoffs, Ricky. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I've got Seattle going to San Francisco in the playoffs after they beat the NFC East winner, the Giants, and I have them beating San Francisco. I am going to call for the Seahawks to beat the Green Bay Packers in the NFC, and I have the Seattle Seahawks beating the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl.
Wow. Now, see,
I'm a little colder on them for the regular season. The numbers indicate, I don't think they'll be able to top last year's 11-win total. They're a 10- or 11-win team,
right.
But I don't think they're going to top 11 wins. It's going to cost them the division, but I think that even though what I said, maybe they're going to suspect on the road, I just think that when push comes to shove, that only the 49ers stand in front of their way, and the 49ers are due to maybe have a bad playoff game after the last 2 years. And I love the Seahawks team. I think I as long as they don't run their yap too much and
right.
keep taking Adderall there and or getting caught taking Adderall, I just think with future MVP Russell Wilson at the helm, this team is – I mean, give it – I mean, Pete Carroll was not a guy I believed in at this time last
right.
year. I am totally sold on how he has overturned this roster. I mean, if Percy Harvin, they can get him back for the stretch run,
yeah.
look out. I got Seattle as a wild card. We've seen wild cards win the Super Bowl
sure.
in recent years. I have Seattle as a wild card winning the Super Bowl.
All right.
Sure.
I'm just going to backtrack for a second because we didn't run through on the AFC all my picks. AFC first round, number 3, Cincinnati over 6 seed Baltimore. 4 New England over 5 Pittsburgh. Divisional round, 1 Denver over 4 New England, 2 Houston over 3 Cincinnati. And as I did say during our AFC preview, number 2 Houston over number 1 Denver. That's how I have Houston making it on that side of the bracket. NFC, I agree with you. Number 5 Seattle over number 4 New York Giants. We agree completely on that one. My other one, number 3 Green Bay over number 6 St. Louis. That should
say,
be pretty
I
basic.
I would say over Atlanta.
Okay, all right. Second round. I have number 1 seed San Francisco over number 5 Seattle.
I have the other way.
Yes.
I have the other way.
And number 3 Green Bay going to number 2 Atlanta and beating them. You would have them beating
New Orleans.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. NFC Championship. San Francisco at home winning over number 3 seed Green Bay. My Super Bowl pick, San Francisco over Houston for Super Bowl MVP Colin Kaepernick. That would be my selection. Now, I've gotten pushback from some people, even from Rick Bucher on this show, who is based out of the Bay Area, who's saying, I'd love to see it, but, and everyone keeps saying, they would be the first team since the Dolphins in the early 70s when they lost to Dallas in the Super Bowl to come back and do it. It's very hard to come back the next year. And I would look at it like, okay, and it would also be 3 consecutive trips just to Championship Sunday, which in and of itself is pretty hard to do also. So I get
that's why
all
I don't
of that.
Pick it. That's why I think they're going to have the hiccup against Seattle in the playoffs.
But I guess my point would be, at a certain point in time, you always have that streak getting snapped.
Sure.
Streaks
are made to be broken.
It's going to if it doesn't happen now, it could be in 5 years, it could be in 10 years. Is a team going to be better positioned to do it than this San Francisco 49ers team?
No, I mean, they're loaded. I mean, like I said, I mean, and this won't be their last stand either by any means. I mean, Seattle and San Francisco are going to both be very good for the next couple of years. I think I read a column, on ESPN.com. Their insider, they ranked every roster only looking at the players 25 years and under, and they were the top 2.
Right.
And they're the top 2 teams considered this year. So look out. I mean, these are the 2 best teams moving forward.
Right. I think they are as well. I think there's no question about it. And I think that, it's going to be very, very special. It's one of these things also, too. Don't be surprised, because the NFL likes to play some games with how they do stuff, too. If we're right about this, and it's a year-in and year-out thing of San Francisco and Seattle the next couple of years, like cats and dogs, Don't be surprised if they do something like the NBA and change the playoff seeding system so that they can meet in the championship game. Wouldn't shock me.
Well, I mean, you know, Roger Goodell took purses away. I don't know how my, you know, girlfriend's going to sneak my liquor into the games now. So, I mean, but
think about it, because there's a lot of people who already feel like it's an antiquated thing to have the number four seed host a wild card team. Most of the time, the number four, maybe not most of the time, at least
a lot of times
that team is inferior to the top
wild card. Well, Seattle had a better record than Washington last year and had to go there.
Yeah. I mean, Seattle was clearly a better team than Washington.
Yeah, the only reason I think
even
people,
with a healthy
the
RG3.
Only reason people were giving Washington a fighting chance is because it was in Washington.
Right.
I mean, if the game was in Seattle, everyone would have picked Seattle.
And the reverse of that was a couple of years ago. We talked about this. Seattle, when the division still sucked, they wanted
they
to
hosted
7-9.
New Orleans, yeah, and they got to host
and,
them,
you know,
the 12-4 New Orleans or whatever they were.
The only reason they won that game, you know, Sean Payton with his infamous pregame speech about you could go out there and beat these guys in flip-flops, and, you know, so it was the overconfidence of the Saints, which, by the way, you know, overconfidence having crippled this franchise at key moments the last couple of years. I'm sure that's not going to be any better with Rob Ryan in the mix there.
You hate Rob Ryan. Just admit it. Better than Jim Schwartz, your boy.
Oh.
You heard?
Jim Schwartz is 10 times the NFL coach that
The only mistake Rob Ryan's made at Thanksgiving is probably going back for stuffing 8 times, okay? He never single-handedly cost his team a game.
Well, it's because he's never been a head coach, and I don't think he's ever going to be trusted enough to be a head coach.
No, not with that haircut and belly, I'll tell you.
No, it's he's got to do what his brother did and get the tummy tuck kind of a deal. But, you know, even that's not going to be enough to keep Rex in the league another year. But there you have it with our Super Bowl picks as we run through on our final division here, the NFC West. My Super Bowl pick, San Francisco over Houston. Kyle's pick Seattle over Denver. That really, either one of those would be an unbelievably great football game.
Sure.
I see those being very, very excellent. Thank you all for tuning in and checking out all of our coverage. Hope you've been able to check out all of our mini episodes here, breaking this all down. The AFC in one big chunk, much more easily digestible chunks with the NFC, with the East, North, South, and here the West. So again, check it out, digest it, and see what comes out the other side.
I was going to say, and look for us throughout the year. Every week, giving picks again. We're going to try to do it all over again. We were really successful last year. We'll try to do it again this year.
We will. And it can't be stated enough, too, that last year, Kyle, a longtime figure in the handicapping industry, making this the place to find the Kyle Ross picks week in and week out, his premier-type picks, the best of the best every week, and going at a 60% clip verified through the season. You hear a lot of bogus numbers getting thrown around in this business. If you were checking it out week after week after week and you were making his plays, you would have been ahead at the end of the year. So there's something that people need to know
And I'm already loving this week one card, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm already loving this week one card.
I haven't even looked at the lines yet for it, so it'll be interesting. There's always a couple week one that are, like, way off. It seems like.
Oh, sure.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll be very interested because I used to make the joke a couple of years ago because the Browns in particular always seem to be inflated week one, even like in their worst years because of the caution of the odds makers. And I used to look at it and go, man, if this year's Browns team was lined up against the 78 Steelers, it would be like Steelers minus -3.
You get
They're
a lot
so cautious.
Yeah, you do. This year, you know what? You see a lot more 7-point lines, though. I've seen. I haven't seen the lines aren't necessarily as cautious. Sure, you got a lot of your 3s and 3.5 numbers out there, but there's some that are justified and others are not.
All right. Well, there's a
that's a different podcast for a different day, though, isn't it?
But that's a tease looking ahead here for the people. You can check this out through the course of the season, as we did it last year, breaking it all down here, game by game, week by week. Nobody does it like the NFL here, like the FDH Lounge, and a big, big part of that, my man Kyle Ross. So happy to have you in, K-Dog.
Thank you.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports. Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.